Of course, we're celebrating this morning the solemnity of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And in Pentecost, we have basically the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to give us everything that we could possibly need, to fill us with the truth, to lead us into all truth, to provide us with divine life, and to bring you and me to the glory of heaven. So there's nothing lacking because we have the Holy Spirit. We have everything we need. And the only question then, I think, for us is, are we willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? John's Gospel tells us that God has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts. And remember that if we're in a state of grace, God dwells himself within us. And wherever one person of the Holy Spirit is, the other two are always there. All three are present because it's not possible to separate the persons of the Holy Spirit one from another. And therefore, if the Holy Spirit is present within us, present also are the Father and Son. We are temples of the Lord. We're a dwelling place of the Lord. And that's one of the reasons we Christians have this added notion of the great dignity, particularly of the human person. And through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, we have all the graces necessary to live according to the fullness of the truth that God gives us. The gift of the Holy Spirit in its fullness came to us at confirmation and allows each of us, if we cooperate, to live a heroic Christian life. In this day and age, that is exactly what is necessary. You and I are called to live heroic lives, to live lives of heroic virtue. In our own country, in 2012, you know that we're experiencing a gradual shutting down of religious liberties by our government in Washington. You know about the Health and Human Services mandates that will not allow conscience protections to Catholics, and which make Catholic schools, colleges, hospitals, nonprofit entities, Catholic business owners, and so on, actually make each one of us enforcers of the government's anti-Catholic radical political agenda. We are their agents in carrying out their agenda. You might not know that just about 2 weeks ago, the U.S. Congress in the House of Representatives began an attempt to ensure that Catholic and other military chaplains, by legislation, will have full conscience protections if they should decide to refuse to participate in the same-sex marriages. However, our government in Washington and their congressional allies strongly oppose these proposed conscience protections for our military chaplains. That should tell you that dark, very dark clouds are descending on our land of the free and the home of the brave. The times that all of us here are entering into are going to require that we are living our faith to the fullest, because that's the only possible way we are going to make it. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we'll have the grace necessary to be able to live through these times ahead of us and be able to maintain our faith, our hope, and our charity. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit have been given to each one of us to enlighten our minds and to strengthen our wills. There's nothing lacking. Remember some of what the Holy Spirit does for us. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that forgiveness of sins comes about. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that the bread and wine at Mass are transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. You might remember that it's at the epiclesis in the Mass when the priest puts his hands over the chalice, and the bread. And when the altar server rings the first bell, that the Holy Spirit is called upon to come down upon the gifts on the altar and to completely transform these gifts of bread and wine into Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit, who is the soul of the church, is the spirit of the church, and the church, the body of Christ, is Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit animates the church, even makes possible our prayer. The Holy Spirit makes possible the spread of the church throughout the world to ensure that the truth is spoken in every language of humanity, not just by a few individuals, but by Jesus' church. And so the Holy Spirit continues to spread the truth and to remind us of all the things our Lord has taught us. In that dynamic, that process takes place in and through Jesus' church. The Holy Spirit works in each one of us according to God's plan, according to God's own providence, according to his will, according to our own situation and possibilities, according to our own state in life. It's the Holy Spirit which enables us to become united, even here on earth, with Jesus. So we should always want to pray regularly to the Holy Spirit, asking him to fill our hearts, perhaps using perhaps seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit in prayer to discern God's will or to help in discerning whatever it is we need to know, whatever decision it is we have to make. And I think a good prayer that we can always use is the verse that we prayed before the gospel. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Think back on the prophets that we read about in Scripture, and you'll find that God would often ask them to go different places, to do different things that were not easy for them. I think a great model for us is St. Joseph. God didn't wait until St. Joseph in Bethlehem had had a good night's sleep, but he woke him up in the middle of the night and told him it was time to take his family to Egypt right away. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, Joseph got up right away, and the family, the Holy Family, set off for Egypt. The Holy Spirit actually leads us along perfect paths. And many times, maybe even most of the time, they are not paths that we would have chosen by our own whim. It's a matter of you and me doing our best to cooperate with God's will. If we're in the middle of trying to make an important decision in life, we always ought to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit and to carefully discern what the answer might be. Our prayer, however, has to be a lifelong, really even constant project, not just a one-time question and then exasperation when we don't hear right away what the answer is. And when God's will does become apparent, we should respond over and over again according to the pattern of our Blessed Mother. Yes, Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. The only way we will get on the path and stay on the path that's going to lead us into the very heart of Jesus and into eternity with Christ is through the Holy Spirit, who is the spouse of the Blessed Mother. And with the two of them leading us, we won't go wrong. However, if we decide to strike out on our own without the Holy Spirit, we are headed for trouble and incoherence. Most of us, maybe almost all of us, have seen this reality in our own families. I happen to be thinking of someone specifically who went through all Catholic schools. And despite that fact, recently wrote Father Parker and me telling us that the Catholic Church, the bishops, Catholic priests should all just be quiet, even if our government wants to impose same-sex marriage on our country, even if our government wants to impose same-sex marriages on our Catholic chaplains, and so on. We should just be quiet because this person says, in this person's view, that Jesus allegedly, of all things, would go along with same-sex marriage. Unfortunately, I am speaking of someone who is lost. Despite Jesus' crystal clear teaching, which this person has decided to reject. And if you reject truth, it's like someone who's mentally ill. You're basically not in touch with reality. Archbishop Chaput has said that those who reject Catholic teaching aren't really Catholic. I'll say it again. Those who reject Catholic teaching are not really Catholic. To abandon the Catholic faith due to one's pride and obvious ignorance is a true tragedy. Brothers and sisters, if you and I are going to call God our Father, if we're going to remain in our Lord Jesus Christ as he remains in his Father, we will be obedient to God's laws. I mean, we'll always seek to do our best to be obedient to God's laws and not to our own fantasies and imaginings. We'll always seek to follow his will and to live according to his ways, according to his commandments. And when we mess up, and every one of us here has messed up more than once, when we mess up, which will inevitably happen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's forgiveness is always ours, just for the asking. God wants the very best for each one of us. And if he wants only the best, there's nothing we should fear. That might be the cross. But if the cross is the perfect way to heaven for us, then that's what he's going to ask of us. We each need to beg the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and to give us always the grace to say yes to whatever it is that God asks. Not necessarily to speak in foreign tongues or to do extraordinary, showy things, but simply to embrace the truth, to seek to live the truth in the love of the Holy Spirit.